show. Product of what you're taught to know. Forfeit the game, cause tomorrow, when it's all done, you reap what you sow.
And welcome once again to Line Interference. As always, I'm Lineman. Still don't have a co-host, but we're working on that. Now, before we get into the show, I want to clear something up. If you happen to be like the guy who emailed me and is having trouble seeing the video on this file, it's not a problem with your DivX codecs or anything else. This is audio, MP3. See, here at Lineman.net, we like to focus on content ahead of flash and graphics and things like that. But anyway, the topic today is going to be something that's a little close to me, being somebody who works in an educational field. We're dealing with education and careers as it relates to computers. Now, real quick, I want to plug the one of our other sites. TechDiscussions.com is a spinoff of Lineman.net. It's just a message board, and we're focusing on that there entirely. Well, Trick, one of the moderators there, and a good friend of mine and from CCOM Group, has started a test prep section where he's got a lot of test questions because he's working on his certifications. And a really good thing to go look at if you're thinking about going into any sort of certification, and just if you're going into any sort of testing program, you might want to go there and give it a look, ask his questions, whatever. Make some comments, help people out. Now, got two different things here to look at, the educational side of it and the career side of it. Well, when I've taught classes before where we've dealt with these sorts of issues, not necessarily computers directly, but just careers in general, I've always kind of struggled with, well, which comes first? Because on one hand, chronologically, the education comes before the career, but then if you don't have some idea where you're going career-wise, then your education is going to be kind of haphazard, so shall we say. Well, I may skip around here a little bit, and when we have Money Moose as a guest giving his segment, he may skip around a little bit too. But just try to take it in. If you want to edit this and sequence it in a way or take some notes, feel free to do that. So I'm going to start out here just talking about college majors. Big issue. And this is something that, unlike other big issues, I don't see discussed very much on message boards. I try to bring it up as much as I can. I've written some articles that deal with this. But I want to make sure people think about this. So, you're wanting to go into computers. What do you major in? Well, computer science, obviously. It's called computers, and there you go. Well, you may not realize what you're getting into. And as I was a math major, but as a math major, we ended up taking some programming classes. The fields are definitely intertwined, as we've been discussing a lot lately on TechDiscussions.com. Well, computer science is going to focus a lot on programming and not so much on practical skills. If you're looking for something where you're going to learn about installing hardware, installing software, maybe configuring a server, things like this, you're not going to get very much of that, if any, in a computer science program. Computer science focuses more on math, logic, reasoning, things like that, as they pertain to programming. Well, I can tell you from my own experience taking some of these CS courses, and some of them were so math intense that they, actually quite a few of them, will double as math classes. Something to think about. Well, I'd be in these classes, and even though, I mean, I had some programming background, but I hadn't programmed in years, and I'd never programmed, for instance, in C before, or MATLAB, or Java, or anything like that. Well, I'd be in these classes, and these guys that, you know, had all this computer background were just lost. Because even though they knew a lot about computers, they really didn't know how to apply different, you know, ideas and somehow make a program out of them. It was the logic that really tripped them up. And then when they'd get to programs that were pretty math-heavy, and it's going to be most of them, they were just completely lost. And by then, those of us who had the math background or were math majors mostly, we ended up kind of overtaking them there. Now, these were introductory programming courses, so I'm assuming that they catch on a little bit later on, but still a little surprising. So now, how about this IT, IS mess? Is that worth it? Well, yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot of practical knowledge you're going to learn in those programs. You want to be an IT major? Go right ahead. I mean, you're going to learn about the things that most of us think about when we think about computers and working with them. So, is there a problem? Well, yeah, you're going to be kind of limited. Now, if all you want to do is fix computers for the rest of your life and then maybe eventually go into kind of a management area, IT, IS degree may be perfect for you. But if you're having any lofty dreams of maybe programming or, well, doing any sort of theoretical work, you're not going to get those kind of skills with an IT or IS degree. So, which do you pick? Well, that's kind of a tough call. If you are able to do this, and this is just my opinion, so take it or leave it, if you're able to do it, I would say get the computer science degree, because if you're into computers, a lot of the other stuff that the IT majors are going to learn that you're not going to formally, you're going to learn informally. You're going to be able to teach yourself. And maybe to motivate yourself, get some certifications to show that you have these skills. I mean, certainly nobody's going to turn their nose up at a computer science degree. But just realize that even though your degree may be more rigorous in a lot of ways than the IT majors, there may be some things that you don't cover. There may be some networking aspects and things like that. I mean, for instance, I have a hard time believing you can get any degree that has computer in the title and never install an operating system. But you could do that in computer science. You might create an operating system or design one, but you're not necessarily going to install one at any point. So, just to sum that up, I mean, if you can, get the CS degree, get the certifications, and you can probably go any direction you want. But the CS stuff is pretty math heavy, and a lot of people have a problem with that. And that's not picking on those people. That's just one skill that a lot of people struggle with, and a lot of people have phobias about it. Now, to focus more on just the general topic of school, I want to talk about a few things that, again, I don't feel get mentioned enough, and this isn't necessarily relating to computers directly. Now, while you're in college, there are a lot of things that people tell you to focus on. A lot of people think, well, I've got to work on my degree. I'm a programming major, I'm a computer science major, and so that's all that matters to me. Well, probably not the best choice, and I'm going to try my best to convince you of this in the next couple minutes. The most important things to focus on in college, three things, and feel free not to believe this, but you're going to see it happen. Number one, creativity. Number two, communication. And number three, logic and reasoning. And I don't care what your major is, that's the case. Well, okay, so why? Creativity. This is not something that can just be taught, and I think we kind of discussed this before where we had the show about programming. You can't really teach somebody to be creative. I don't know if it's just something that's inspired. I don't know if some muse gives us inspiration. I don't know. But some people have a knack for coming up with unique creative solutions, and some people just don't. All I know is that the more often you do it, the easier it becomes. You know, thinking outside the box. Some of us seem to not just think outside of the box, but live entirely outside of the box at all times. That seems to help us. Now, communication, you know, you got a couple different areas there with communication. And there are so many people that make the mistake of dodging any sort of communication class they can take. If they had the choice between getting all their teeth pulled 101 and speech, you know, a lot of times they're going to opt for getting all their teeth pulled. You know, it's people have this phobia about that. And I've seen a lot with not just verbal communication, but with writing. People are very timid about that, too. In GED classes I've taught, I've got people that will do anything. I mean, they'll ask math questions. They may have trouble reading. They'll ask you about that. But what are they scared to death to even try? They do not want to write for me. People are so scared of not just saying what they think, but putting their thoughts on paper and exposing themselves that way. That's why a lot of people are really nervous about writing articles for Lyman.net, because they're afraid, oh, this is going to suck, I'm horrible, I don't know what I'm doing. You've got to get over that, and there's no real easy way to do it. I mean, it's like bungee jumping or something. You can't read a book and get over it. You just have to go do it, and I don't know any other way to. Well, writing, the more you do, the easier it gets. Speaking, the more of it you do, the easier it gets. Nobody was as scared of public speaking as I was, and that's, you know, even through the start of college. I mean, it wasn't for quite a while that I was able to get over that. And just eventually I did. A lot of it was confidence and, you know, shyness, just a lot of different issues. But these are all important. And, you know, why in the world are they? Well, even if you're in a computer-related career and you think, well, I'm never going to do any of this stuff and I don't want to write articles, that's fine. And you may not teach and you may not give speeches and things like that. But you're going to need these skills to communicate with your employer. This is what you need. This is why you need it. This is what it's going to cost. This is how we're going to pay for it. I mean, these sorts of things where if you have the ability to speak and communicate effectively, well, you're going to ease people's minds. You're going to be able to convince them of what they need, you know, help them to understand. I don't mean convince as in socially engineer them into believing it is real, but I mean just, you know, making people aware. It's hard to do that if you, you know, have no skills with communication. Well, on top of that, any of these things are just general people skills. I mean, you talk to people, you write to people. As you get better at it, you start to get more practice just working with people. And any job, at some point, you've got to work with somebody. Even if it's just the guy giving you your paycheck, you've got to communicate with them somehow. And the last thing you want to do is just, you know, offend everybody by, you know, not talking to them in, you know, an appropriate way. Okay, now the last of the three big things, logic and reasoning. Well, again, the CS majors that I worked with, like say in the beginning programming classes, and some of them were higher level math classes that were just electives for computer science majors, they did not have the logic in a lot of cases. It did not make sense to them. Now, in math, you've got a lot of background where, I mean, all of math is symbolic logic in a way, I suppose. But then you actually have several different classes you end up taking where you learn to develop proofs and whatnot using symbolic logic. You learn to think that way. Now, in computer science, you're going to have a little bit of that, but it's going to be slightly different. It may relate more to logic circuits and things, but you're going to be exposed to it at least a little bit. But it almost doesn't even seem fair because they just throw you into it, kind of like they throw you into the math, where you may not have certain math classes until later on. I mean, you may not have Calc 3 or DiffEQ until your senior year, and yet a lot of classes are going to assume that you have that knowledge. That leads into one other thing that nobody wants to hear. These are just some more things to focus on in college. Well, I'm sorry, but math. So where in the world am I going to use math? You know, if you honestly have to ask that question, I don't know if I'm going to convince you that you need math, but, you know, that's just reality. Even if, I'll give you an example. One time I was at when I was student teaching at a middle school, I had a young man throw a fit because he didn't think he needed to learn fractions. And okay, well, I'm never going to have to learn math. I said, well, why is that? Well, because I'm going to go be a coal miner. I don't need no math. I said, really? I said, well, you ever heard of overtime? Well, yeah. Well, how do you get paid then? Well, time and a half. I said, so how are you going to know without knowing about fractions how to figure out overtime? Oh, okay. You know, it's going to somehow be involved in your life, and if you don't have a little bit of math background, you're going to be a sucker. Now, there's some other situations, like one right now that I'm working with, where, let's say that you've got, I mean, this is just a very specific example, but let's say you've got a situation where you expect, you're going to contract out some work, you expect a certain amount of pay per hour. Well, the people you're working with are going to work for, you know, contract with, they may not want to pay that much per hour. They may think it's a little steep. You know, you could look at it kind of mathematically as, oh, well, what I want's greater than what they want. It's just not going to work out. We can't come to, you know, any sort of agreement. Well, that's not necessarily true. If you look at it mathematically, there's a way a lot of times where you can work out a situation that's beneficial for both parties. Well, in this case, maybe I want that money because I'm not sure about how much work they're going to give me. You know, that's what I need because it may be spotty. Now, on the other hand, they don't want to pay that much at a time. I mean, it's just too much for them. So you work out something. Like, instead of, you know, saying, I want X amount per hour and that's all, you know, maybe cut it, but only if they agree that they're going to give you certain blocks of time. That way you're going to be there for an extended period of time instead of just 1 hour and just kind of, you know, spotty work there. But the whole point is there's ways. I mean, if you look at the whole world, it's kind of a calculus equation that you're trying to find a maximum or minimum value in. There's a lot of times solutions you don't think of. And math, even if you're not using the math directly, it gives you these sorts of skills that you get used to using numbers, using them to your advantage in a lot of cases, or just thinking along these lines. Just another route to thinking logically and creatively to an extent. But overall, these are all just skills that are going to help you in any career. It doesn't matter what you do, what field you go into, you're going to be limited by your ability to do math, to communicate effectively, and, you know, being able to think creatively. And it doesn't matter what career path you go along, that's going to hold you back at some point. Now, one more question I'm going to deal with before we take a break here. This is something I get teaching at the college a lot. High school kids want to ask this a lot. I mean, just people have this question in general. Well, okay, so I'm majoring in computer science or whatever. Why do I have to take all those other classes? Well, I've already discussed a little bit about, you know, taking a speech class, you know, learning logic, things like this. You know, why do you really have to take them? Well, the idea is, and this is just kind of the politically correct, nice, pretty explanation. The idea is that you are going to get a more well-rounded education, that, you know, you study the liberal arts, the sciences, you just get a wide range of things that you study, and it's going to make you a more rounded, well-rounded person, your education is going to be more well-rounded, and, you know, you're just going to be better at picking up other things. That sounds really nice. The truth is that for a school to be accredited, they have to require certain things for any degree, whatever program. So that's why they have all those others. Some schools don't do this. They may not be accredited. They may just be partially accredited. I mean, there's a lot of things going on there behind the scenes. But, I mean, that's really the reason why you had to take them. So it makes it sound like, oh, well, this is just something bad that, you know, whoever is making us take. Well, you know, don't necessarily look at it that way. And this is something you really want to understand. It's hard to believe this at the time, because you take these classes and, you know, I can probably name, I don't know, maybe five professors in all my college that I really thought were pretty good teachers and I had something to benefit from. You know, that's in my major or outside of it. I mean, most of the classes I took I thought were, in general, pretty useless. You know, at least directly. But even with that, I did gain some experience. And think about it this way. Let's say, worst case scenario, I'll give you one example with me personally. I was in a class where it was essentially a theology class, but it wasn't just Christian theology. It was a lot of different religions we were studying, and just history and a lot of things wrapped up into it. Well, people who know me would think that I would fly through that class and just, you know, get an A++++. But I didn't. I ended up with a D somehow, which, you know, I didn't get a lot of D's in college, but, you know, especially, you know, just a history class. You know, something that I enjoyed, and plus it had a religious aspect to it, too. So, thought I'd do pretty good. Well, the teacher and I just didn't click. I mean, I didn't agree with the way he graded anything, and, you know, didn't think the class was taught very well. You pretty much had to teach yourself. Okay, well, that's about as bad as it gets. I mean, the class isn't enjoyable. You don't get a very good grade in there. You don't really feel like you learned anything. Well, but you do learn something. I mean, you learn how to deal with people. You learn how to get through different situations. Even at the very least you learn is to pretend you're awake or to look like you're paying attention while you do something else. I mean, at the very least, that's a skill. At least you're gaining something. Now, I'm not happy that I had to pay $200-$400 an hour for that. But, you know, I did gain something from it. Well, we're going to take a quick break right now. We'll be right back after this.
Editing is all Mac-based now. I mean, you know, there are programs out there on the PC, but whether you're using Avid or using Final Cut Pro, you're working on a Macintosh. Using a Mac is a little different than using a PC. It's not so much operating a computer as it is sort of tricking it, fooling it into doing what it is you really want it to do. You kind of have to sneak up on a Mac. I don't feel like I'm operating the Mac so much as I'm just there sharing the Mac experience. And if I can do something useful while the Mac is willing, so much the better. One of the coolest features of the Macintosh is it's really easy to shut down. All you have to do is be using a piece of software and then poof, it goes away. It's gone. It's shut down. You didn't push any buttons, you didn't close, you didn't even save. It's just gone. Unless you want to shut down a Mac, oh, that's a whole nother story. I mean, you try to close a program and it locks up, and then you do that funny, what is it, the cloverleaf period thing?
These unnatural and ultimately useless interrupt keys.
Then nothing moves. Then you push the power button and it won't turn off. You go around and unplug it, and you better hope you're not on a laptop, because then you got to find the damn battery and try to pull that out, or the thing will never shut down. So I put my CD in the CD-ROM tray, and I'm copying media off that CD, dragging it onto my desktop, dragging it onto my desktop, dragging it onto my desktop. I eject it, and where did my files go? It's the only operating system I know of where click and drag does not mean you actually copy or move anything. No, you're just making shortcuts on your desktop. So I've got my next CD, and I slam it into the CD-ROM tray, and lo and behold, it starts playing all by itself. I'm looking for a way to turn it off. Finally, out of desperation, I click and drag the CD into the garbage can. The system locks up. So I go to the cloverleaf period spacebar thing, hoping I can stop the program, and I get a little caution window saying, careful, interrupting this program may lock up the system. I try to click OK, but the system's already locked up!
I like the handle here. That's so you can attach a chain and use it as a boat anchor!
The Mac is practicing some kind of bizarre psychological warfare on me because I'm working late at night. At the corner of my eye, I keep seeing this thing jumping up and down. The update manager is bouncing at the bottom of the screen like a Jack Russell Terrier. So I'm looking around in the list of the files, trying to find the executable it wants me to update, and if I click on any one of them by accident, I rename it. Oh no, it's been renamed nothing. It was some kind of important system file, and the computer crashes. On a PC, no data's really lost. I mean, there's a way to undelete a file. If you know what you're doing in DOS, you can go in and recover anything that's been corrupted. On a Mac, if you lose a file, you run to the store and get a copy of the Mac version of Norton Utilities. You run back only to have Norton go, "You idiot! You own a Macintosh! The file is fucking gone! It's just gone!" Don't have any tools or any kind of buttons or whatever, dials or switches in the bottom of the screen, because if you reach for them, the dock menu comes up. You've got to, like, angle around and slide and dodge the thing to get to the control. It's kind of like boxing with your computer. I can put it on the bottom, I can put it on the left, I can put it on the right. No, I can't put it on the top. That's reserved for the mighty Blue Apple. Gah! My name is Hunter Kressel. I'm an editor, and I cut together everything you saw tonight on a Macintosh. Mac killed my inner child.
Well, that was certainly interesting. Just so that we don't hurt the feelings of any Mac users out there, we realize that it's not that bad. As Coldring said, to paraphrase him, he said something along the lines of, you'd have to be a total moron to have that many problems with a Mac. And I tend to believe him. Well, now we're going to go to Muddy Moose, who has a little bit to say about just all aspects of education.
Every time I touch you, you get hot. I want to meet love, you never stop. Come up for any woman to the floor. What's been going on?
Oh, sorry about that. Wrong music.
Hey everyone, this is Muddy Moose. I think that the topic of education is something that's still a mystery to most people. Students are pressured from a young age into becoming concerned about their career. The question of what do I want to be when I grow up is one that plagues many people well into adulthood. While high school students face this question more often than any other demographic, you'll often find adults still thinking of an answer. To this end, education is a source of a lot of stress. High school students face one set of questions. Should they attend college? What degree should they pursue? What should they study? Should they go straight into the workforce? Adults have other questions. If they never attended college, should they start? If they dropped out, should they go back? Should they keep working in their field and build experience? Should they teach themselves? There's no one right answer for either scenario. Every option has its pros and cons. Because of that, choosing the path that's best for you is often a difficult task, and it's something only you can do. As a general rule, I don't think anyone should ever pass up an opportunity to learn something new. It doesn't matter who you learn from or what they're teaching, all knowledge can benefit you to some degree, and you can never learn too much. This is especially true in the computer industry. We've all heard the rhetoric about how technology is always changing and how you have to work hard to keep up. But even if technology stopped progressing right now, you'd still be hard-pressed to master everything in your lifetime. Still, trying to learn all you can about computers is a worthy pursuit. You can benefit not only financially, but more importantly, you can benefit intellectually as well. Solving a simple programming problem or setting up your first network are rewarding accomplishments. A more advanced geek might think that your current project is easy, but everyone starts with easy stuff. The same advanced geek might be working on a web-based multi-user game. While that seems pretty impressive to someone just starting out, it's nothing to a PhD in computer science. It's all relative. What matters is if what you're learning makes you feel like you're accomplishing something. As long as you feel like you're progressing, you're getting somewhere. To this degree, it doesn't matter if you're teaching yourself from a book or taking a college course or certification exam. No matter how you're learning, you should feel satisfied. In the real world, personal satisfaction is usually not enough. You need to be able to make a living from your skills. Businesses view your credentials much differently than you might. It all comes down to money with them, and they want the best value for their money. It's obvious that most employers value one thing more than any other, college education. The more of it, the better. If you're a high school student, putting your focus on college is a safe way to go. Starting college right out of high school is a lot easier than starting years later. Once you're an adult, responsibilities pile up and getting a degree can seem impossible. Certifications are debatable. Some companies seem to value them, some don't. If you have the time and money, or if you just want to prove to yourself what you know, then a certificate can't hurt. If you have a degree, certifications can supplement it, and if you don't, then they can add some credibility. At the very least, they probably can't hurt. One thing I like about certifications is that they're usually much less expensive than college. The big problem is that courses designed to prepare you for the exam often concentrate on taking the test, not actually learning anything useful. A lot of computer professionals are self-taught to some degree. Anytime you sit down and just start hacking on something, you're teaching yourself. Many businesses don't value this type of education since it's difficult to validate, but it's often more rewarding intellectually than formal education. Many people that have been working in the industry for some time lack formal education but have made up for it with experience. While this has been working for them so far, the increasing influx of college graduates will likely change that. It all goes back to my earlier statement, you can never learn too much. You should always be seeking knowledge, seeking answers, if not for financial gain, then for your own personal satisfaction. I've concentrated on computer education here, but any subject can improve the way you look at things. Knowledge of accounting, business, or writing are invaluable assets to an employer. More liberal education in history, art, or an unrelated science can give you new ideas and inspiration. Everything you know influences how you can solve problems and how you interact with the world. Every little thing can give you an edge. Keep in mind, this is all my experiences and impressions, so take it with a grain of salt.
Thank you, Muddy, and we'll be right back after this.
Dudes, this is Dark Lotus from theposing.org. As a public service announcement, they want me to read the rules. So here it goes. None of the following will be tolerated at theposing.org. No flaming.
You! You started laughing first!
No swearing or profanity.
Who the f***? How did he get on our show? Who the f***?
No spamming.
HACKS at defensivethinking.com.
Okay.
All together. Defensivethinking.com. Hacks.
No flaming. Wait, did we do that one already? Who cares? No illegal files of any type.
Take those GameCube ISOs and send it right over the network.
No illegal topics.
We're going to talk about extracting and cracking Windows passwords in just minutes.
Now, before posting, please review the following. You need to search. There are over 65,000 posts. There's a good chance your question has already been answered.
How did you learn to become a master social engineer? You know, where did you learn all this?
Even though most people don't really ask good questions, Anyway, be courteous and polite.
Who the f*** is Matthew? How the hell did he get on our show?
Show respect to the opinions and feelings of others.
Guy of a different race, probably 10 times bigger than you. All muscle. As you say, I want those shoes.
Engage your brain before your mouth.
I don't mean to brag, but I did mod the Xbox, the PS2, and the GameCube.
You are responsible for your own words and any harm they may cause.
A self-destructing laptop.
Don't dilute the forums with irrelevant and unnecessary fluff.
The ultimate hacker laptop.
It's not a free speech forum.
I just get the shit beat out of me pretty much is what you're saying.
These are strict rules, but we want to make these forums a fun place to meet new people and share information. Not a newbie flaming playground. Thanks a lot, guys. This has been Dark Lotus from theposen.org.
And welcome back. For this last segment, I'm just going to talk a little bit about more of the career side of things. And first and foremost, I hate to burst anybody's proverbial bubble, but the old cliche is true. It is who you know. That's going to be more important than anything. And that's really the trick. Something I always tell my students is to remember how you act and to keep in mind how you act with people in your class setting. Because a lot of times they see the teacher as the authority figure and they're the one to watch out for, but not necessarily the students. Something to keep in mind is the people that are around you may very well be the ones hiring you in the years to come. Happens a whole lot. And things tend to follow you. So the more people you can know and know in a positive way, that's going to help your chances of finding a job. So, word of mouth. Another important thing to find a job. Old cliche, but very true. You've got to talk to people, and if people don't know you're looking for a job, they can't very well, you know, ask around, or they won't be listening as closely. But outside of those, I'm going to try to give you a little bit of advice, ways to find jobs, maybe in different sorts of ways. One thing that you have as an option, if you're a computer science or IT major, and I say this is an option because as far as I know, nobody is forcing you to do this, but it's to do some sort of internship. They may only be offered at certain times, you may only be able to do one during the summer, but for a lot of programs, there are 400 level classes that you can do as internships, maybe get paid, maybe not. But that's a good way to get out there and get a little bit of experience. The key word here is experience. Even if you're just watching somebody do whatever it is you want to do, if you're around it a little bit, at least you're going to have something to say about it, something that you can use towards your resume. Now, the next thing I'm going to mention is volunteer work. And some people are going to think it sounds kind of hokey. I know what I would think if somebody told me to do volunteer work, but there are possibilities of you finding ways to help people out that do involve computers. And it's possible that you could take old computers, set them up for, say, a Red Cross office or something. I mean, just something involving computers that you could help people out, because you never know when you're going to help the right person. And that's really the trick here, is to impress the right person who knows somebody who might be interested in giving you a job. And maybe not now, but maybe in a year or so. Something a little non-conventional to also think about is internet-based. Now, you may not think about that as a place to find a job, and you know, most of us aren't going to find jobs where we're working with people across the country, but you never know. Some people are a little more mobile than others of us, and maybe there'd be the possibility of moving somewhere. So how do you kind of get your name out there? Well, there are some different ways. I mean, one thing, obviously, is to do like a lot of us have done and just kind of get a reputation, posting on different message boards, not necessarily running your own, okay, hint, hint, but, you know, just posting on different ones, interacting with people, answering questions, you know, just trying to solve problems. I mean, people notice that and you never know. Another thing would be programming. You know, maybe put some software on SourceForge or I've posted a few things on NukeCops. I think, let's see, one was something I wrote and then one was something somebody else wrote. But, you know, you put your software out there, you're just writing it for fun and you never know. I mean, you might get a call. Somebody may be interested in, you know, seeing if you could perform some sort of programming task for them. And even if you're not able to do all that, and let's say you're not into the programming thing, there's always the possibility of just writing articles about things. We've certainly gotten at Lyman.net a lot of hits just from Google searches that are finding these articles we've written. If you write an article about something that's a frequent problem, Google's going to pick it up, and people are going to be coming to it all the time. I mean, we're getting tons and tons of hits from just very simple searches that people are finding. And now some other places to look for jobs. Well, one I want to mention, for some reason people never think of this. If you go to your college professors, you know, after you've graduated, you might be able to find something out. You see, your professors in college doesn't really fit the old saying that those who can do and those who can't teach. A lot of times those of us who do teach very well can. We just choose to teach for whatever reason. And a lot of times your teachers are going to have some sort of connections in industry, you know, whatever the industry is, but in this case, anything computer related. They're going to have contacts, and they're going to be able to tell you different things. Now, it may not be something nearby, but at least they can kind of float your name out there. And that's another reason to try to have a good relationship with your professors. Even if you're not getting an A in the class, you're not the smartest one in there, if you can at least interact with them and impress them with your creativity, you know, and just politeness, that may land you a job at some point. But then one other thing that came up, I can't remember if it was on a message board or in a chat room, I was talking to somebody who was really looking for a computer job, and I was surprised when this isn't something they thought of. Whenever I heard the term civil service jobs before, I'd always thought of it as maintenance or laundry or cooking or something, you know, like at a college or university, doing those kind of jobs. But there are also other jobs, like secretarial jobs, just a lot of different things. But there are a lot of computer-related jobs. And for some reason, these jobs tend to be really high turnover. You know, maybe people find other things or whatever. But if you're really, you're not even finished with your degree, maybe, something to look at is getting one of these civil service jobs that relates to computers. The nice thing about them is you don't have to have necessarily a degree in that field. But if you have enough credits, and that would include certifications and things, then that's going to help you out. Also, if you're a veteran, that's going to help you out a whole lot in any sort of civil service job, just for getting it, because you're going to get so many points on top of how you score on any tests, just based on your time in the service. So you might want to look into that. I mean, it's just another option. But the bottom line is, you've got to find a way to show that you know something. That may be with a degree, that may be with a certification, maybe with experience, which is probably the best of all. But somehow you've got to show to the employer that, hey, you can use me, and you know, you can trust me, and I'm going to do my job well. I mean, that's what all this stuff with the degrees and everything else, that's what it's all really about. Now, a few tips for, well, maybe getting people to notice you. If you're just looking for work, you might want to do a business card. And that's not necessarily just if, you know, you run your own business. You might be able to put some things down, maybe on, maybe not a regular business size card, but something like a pocket resume that you just have, you know, if you're out somewhere, you can give to somebody, or at least if you're going to fill out an application, you've got all the information right there. Brochures, you know, kind of the same idea, maybe do something like that. That might be more along the lines of if you're doing your own business, but if you're just kind of doing odd jobs here and there in between, might be something to try. And at least people have, you know, on paper, a little bit of information about you. Now, here's a really common mistake I've seen people make. When you're writing up your resume and you're putting your references down or even just on an application, make sure you're choosing different types of people who know you in different sorts of settings. For instance, if you have three or four slots to put down references, don't put down four college professors. Don't put down four family friends. I mean, try to get people that can see you in as many different ways as you can so that people get more of a true picture of who you are. that's really going to go a long way towards getting a job, because you just because you have a bunch of references down doesn't really mean that much. I mean, obviously, if you put them down, they're going to say something good about you. You're not going to put them down just anybody. So they already know they're going to say something good about you. Now, another thing to try, and I've mentioned this to a lot of people, is develop some sort of digital portfolio, some way to show your worth. If it's computer related, then this is a really natural thing to do. For instance, if you're wanting to be a web developer of some sort, develop a bunch of web pages, web applications, and just different interfaces, and put them all on a CD. And, you know, even if you're just mailing them to somebody, you can set it up so they just pop it right into their computer. It automatically plays, and then, you know, gives some sort of demonstration, or at least lets them navigate through, you know, different work you've done. But overall, the biggest tip that I can give you is develop a wide range of skills. The wider the range of skills you have, and this is something Money Moose was talking about a little bit, just, you know, having a lot of different areas you're good at. The more you know, the more you can apply it to other areas, and just the more attractive you can make yourself. Now, just as a caveat to that, yes, sometimes you can stretch yourself a little too thin, because people start thinking, well, you can do everything, and I know at my job I've kind of gotten the reputation of being the jack of all trades, and I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people listening to this are the same way. But just for my personal example, I mean, here's some different skills that I have that are related to computers, or at least can be partial. I mess around a little bit with web design, not really anything more than just setting up a basic site and templates and things like that. But I learned a little bit about it. I know enough to install some sort of content management system and you know, just make things look halfway decent. Got a little bit of experience there. Using a variety of software. Sometimes people just pick, well, I'm going to play with this or that, but try out different things, and don't be scared. I mean, even if you're not going to use them, at least learn a little bit about them. Lots of different tech skills. I mean, anything computer related. I mean, there's a lot of things that I've messed with as far as hardware, software, networking. There's a lot of different areas. And then also for me, education. You know, I've taught computers. I've taught other subjects. I have a math background. Well, you know, that's going to be pretty computer related, as we discussed before. And then here I am doing this quasi-radio show thing, which, you know, may never go anywhere, but who knows? You know, doing something, have a lot of skills, and it's always going to help you, you know, as far as speaking, just to develop your communication skills. Now, the last thing I'm going to talk about here is something that I've kind of been working towards, and it's taken me a long time to get to the point where I've decided I really want to do this: owning my own business. You know, a lot of people out there, just as soon as they think about owning their own business, it's just a big nightmare. They don't want to figure out just all the things, and they don't want all the responsibilities that come with it. And, well, okay, I mean, maybe you don't. But here's what is really important. Even if you're not necessarily going to own your own business, have some sort of dream. Have some sort of goal for your life, and just have something that you can work towards in your spare time. You know, just like I have a career in teaching, but I'm working towards, you know, some other things that may be a possibility later on. You know, just work on it here and there, and it's not going to hurt you. And even if in the end, 20 years from now, if I'm still teaching, you know, no big loss. And I'm sure that I'll enjoy everything else that I work on the side the whole time. I mean, it's going to enrich my life either way. But one of my favorite quotes deals with luck. A lot of times people say, well, that person's just lucky, this person's lucky. Sometimes there is such a thing as luck. But here's the definition of luck that I like. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. You can look at things as, well, I wasn't lucky enough to get that. You want to look at things like that? Fine. But I'm more of a believer in kind of owning up to your situation. If things don't seem to work out as far as luck is concerned for you, don't look at it that way. Look at it as, I was not prepared at that given moment. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So if you're not ready when opportunity knocks, then you know, it's kind of your fault. But the last thing I want to say about that is, here's why it's important to me to own my own business, and whatever you end up doing, computer-related or not, try to keep this in mind. If you have the opportunity to own your own business, you have the chance to run your own life. You have the chance to, what I've been saying is, live free, to live truly free, to not be constrained by everybody else's rules and all that. Maybe rules isn't the right word, but just their schedule. You know, be able to go on a vacation if you want to. Be able to do things, however you want. For me, that would just be, even though I don't go on a lot of vacations, it would just be a nice thing not to constantly be wondering, what are they wanting of me? Am I doing what they want? And all this. Just be in control of your life. And if you ask me and a lot of people, just having that sense of freedom is worth a lot more than any salary you're ever going to make. Well, thanks as always for listening. I want to remind you again, if you want to get on a message board, we've got techdiscussions.com is going. Be sure to check out ccomgroup.com and, of course, lyman.net. And I'll see you on the board.